Today's second scripture reading comes to us from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14, and it can be found on page 791 in your Bibles. Hear now the word of the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me, please? O Lord, our rock and redeemer, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O gracious and triune God. Amen. Whenever I read or I hear this story in Ezekiel, I always think of a trip that I took with my parents when I was younger. We used to visit the East Coast a lot to visit family, and one year we went to Pennsylvania. And in Pennsylvania, there was a theater there that we went to see a show at. Now, this theater only did productions of stories that they pulled from the Bible. They did different shows like Joseph, Noah and the Ark, the Christmas story. The one, though, that my parents took me to see was Daniel in the Lion's Den. But they also did a scene that talked about the prophet Ezekiel and the scene that we read today, the Valley of the Dry Bones. Now, I will never forget it. The lights are dimmed in the theater and on the stage. The only light is on Ezekiel, and he's recalling this vision that he has had from God about the dry bones. Now you see these bones randomly start to appear, kind of glowing in the dark, all over the stage. And you're thinking, huh, that's interesting. I wonder what's going to happen. Well, suddenly Ezekiel breaks into song, singing about how these dry bones are gonna rise again. And as he's doing that, you see these little bones just kind of start to move across the stage. They're just twitch here, twitch there. And suddenly these bones all rise up and they start to dance around the stage as Ezekiel is singing that these dry bones are going to live again. So now whenever I hear this story, I have this little tune running through my head of these bones, these dry bones. But as I was reading and as I was studying the scripture, I was thinking, okay, these bones are going to live and rise again. What does that mean? Why do we even have this vision in Ezekiel? Why has God given this vision to him? Why are these bones dry? And what does that mean that they're going to come and rise again? And I think that some of that is revealed to us in this text. Now, right away when we start reading, the passage opens with Ezekiel being led by God into this valley. Now, instantly, I think we're allowed to kind of let our imaginations run a little wild. We are told that there are bones, not just a few probably, but multitudes of these bones lying across this valley on the ground. We don't know who these bones belong to. We don't know who these people were. They're nameless, and all that remains of them are these dried up bones. There's absolutely no life left within them. And I think we see instantly this image of the weakness and the frailty of humans. So as Ezekiel is taking all this in, taking in these dry bones, God asks him a question. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? These dried up, worn down bones that have nothing left to them. There's just bones. There's no life. How on earth could they possibly live? But Ezekiel wisely answers to the Lord, O Lord God, you know. So God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. He tells them to come together. Ezekiel does this, and there's a great rattling. The bones come together. Muscle is put on the bones. There is skin. And once again, they begin to look like humans. But we see that these bones, these humans, these bodies, still have no life within them. And it is not until God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath, to the wind, that these bodies, that these humans, are given life once again. So he calls the breath to come into these bodies. But what is this breath? What is this that can give life to these otherwise lifeless humans? Well, the Hebrew word for this in the Bible is ruach. And it's interesting because ruach is the same word that is used in the Genesis creation story when God breathed life into Adam. So the same breath that breathes life into these bones, into these bodies, is the same one that was breathed into Adam at creation. It's also interesting that the Holy Spirit is often referred to with such imagery such as breath and wind. So we kind of know what this breath is. We know where it kind of comes from. It comes from God. But we have to now pause and ask, so Ezekiel is having this vision of the breath coming into these dried up bones, of life coming back into these people. But why has God given Ezekiel this vision in the first place? And who exactly is this for? We know that Ezekiel is a prophet to the Israelites, and the Israelites are, at this point, in exile. One commentator put it that this vision is for people who have lost heart, who are suffering a death of the spirit, a living death in exile in a foreign land. It is for God's chosen people, the Israelites. At this point, these people have watched their soldiers die in battle. Their leaders have been captured, taken away. Their temple has been destroyed, and their holy city has been plundered. Many have been killed, and others have been dragged off to this foreign land to become slaves. As that same commentator put it, Ezekiel has witnessed the soul of his people gradually wither and die, becoming as lifeless as the valley of dry bones. The Israelites at this point were people who felt completely cut off and dried up. They are a people who are full of doubts, who have lost all that they have ever known. They are full of questions and are filled with hopelessness and despair. We see, though, in this passage in Ezekiel, that God has seen what has happened to his people. He has seen the spirits that have dried up. And it's for that reason that he has given this vision to Ezekiel. God promises in this passage to put a spirit within his people, and through that spirit to give them restoration. Though they feel dried up and without hope, we see that they are given hope through the spirit that God promises to them, this breath that will give them life and restoration. Just as the bones received restoration and recreation from the breath that God placed in them, so too will the Israelites have this, the restoration of their dried up spirits and hope. And I think then that this story can attest to the power of the Spirit and attest to the power of God, a God who breathes life into humans and who gives restoration and life through the Spirit. I think many of us today can relate to the Israelites. I think many of us have had times in our life when we find ourselves in that sort of place where the Israelites were at this point. Many of us have or have known someone who may have lost homes. Many of us have known people or been in lost marriages. We've lost loved ones. We often live in a world that seems overwhelming. Just this week in our country, we battled with the possibility of a government shutdown. There's constantly things going on in the Middle East. So much in our world seems out of our control, and we have so many questions. And there are often times where we may feel like we are dried up, like we ourselves have these dry bones. It's easy for us to feel just as dry as the bones in the valley, just as the Israelites did. But just as God has given this promise to the Israelites of this breath of new life, we too have been given this promise. It's the same promise from the God who created the world, who breathed life into Adam at the beginning. The same God who made a covenant with Abraham, who brought the Israelites out of slavery. It's the same God who continued to guide the Israelites, though they constantly chose death. And it's the same God who breathed life into the dry bones. We are nearing the end of Lent, and we'll soon be celebrating Easter. And as we near this time, I think we must also recognize and know that it is the same God who sent his Son to die on our behalf, the same Son who rose again and who gives us life through his life, death, and resurrection. It's the same Savior who gives us the Spirit of life, who unites us to himself. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we have the breath of life and that we have hope for the future. Just as we have been given this, and just as we often are in the role of the Israelites, I think sometimes too we are also in the role to tell others that though you may feel like your bones are dried up, you have hope, you have salvation through Christ, and you have grace. So we know that our bones do live, and that our bones do not need to stay dried up, because we have Christ who lives in us, and we have been given the breath of life through the Holy Spirit. Will you please pray with me?